Material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life, in which conditions are enforced upon the living entity by the material energy. Although the spirit soul does not do anything and is transcendental to such activities, he is thus affected by conditional life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Mayavadi philosopher who does not differentiate between the Supreme Spirit and the individual soul says that the conditional existence of the living entity is his lila, or pastimes. But the word pastime implies employment in the activities of the Lord. The Mayavadis misuse the word and say that even if the living entity has become a stool-eating hog, he is also enjoying his pastimes. This is a most dangerous interpretation. Actually, the Supreme Lord is the leader and maintainer of all living entities. In the conditional life, the living entity actually remains as if a captive in the material hands of material energy. Whatever the material energy dictates, the conditioned soul does. He has no responsibility. He is simply the witness of the action, but he is forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. Lord Krishna therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that Maya, his material energy, is so forceful that it is insurmountable. But if a living entity simply understands that his conditioned constitutional position is to serve Krishna, and he tries to act on this principle, then however conditioned he may be, the influence of Maya immediately vanishes. This is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. Krishna takes charge of anyone who surrenders to him in helplessness, and thus the influence of Maya, or conditional life, is removed. The spirit soul is actually Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. Under the clutches of Maya, however, he suffers from continued birth, death, disease, and old age. One has to be serious to cure this condition of material existence and transfer himself to Krishna consciousness, for thus his long suffering may be mitigated without difficulty. In summary, the suffering of the conditioned soul is due to his attachment to material nature. This attachment should thus be transferred from matter to Krishna. The miseries of material existence have one source, and that is material consciousness. Thus, to become free from the miseries of material existence, the first step is to understand what is the difference between matter and spirit. Bhagavad Gita explains in the most authoritative scientific terms. The great acharyas establish a person's spiritual life on this principle. When Srila Prabhupada or any of our acharyas is preaching to a conditioned soul who is under the influence of the illusory energy, they must first establish what is the difference between matter and spirit. What is the soul? What is the body? when the soul comes under the hypnotic illusion that it is this body, then all sufferings are destined to come about. Because any activity on the bodily concept of life is under the jurisdiction of the laws of karma, action and reaction. Under the three modes of material nature, which are compared to ropes which keep one bound to misconception, one is struggling very, very hard. And like a fly in the web of a spider, the more you try to get out by material methods, the more you become entangled. Now, one may have the wrong idea that we see that in materialistic society, they are solving so many problems. They're actually making life more comfortable through so many materialistic methods. But that doesn't mean you're getting out of the clutches of material existence. Because think about it. When you take shelter of some material process to solve the problems of life, and it works, then you develop more faith and dependency on material processes, which means you're more entangled in the network of Maya. If it doesn't work, hopefully you'll start giving up faith in material processes and you'll turn to Krishna. But if it works, you're in big trouble. I'm suffering. Everything's going against me. It's intolerable. Let me find some material method to get relief. And then you get relief. And then you think it works. Manipulation of material energy is actually very, very conducive to become free from the problems of life. But little we know, what is the problem of life? The problem is not that you're suffering due to some headache or due to some indigestion. It's not that the weather is too hot or the weather is too cold. The problem of life is you're forgetful of your constitutional position with Krishna. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. Therefore you have to grow old, get diseased, die, and take another birth to do it again. And again. And again. That's the problem. The problem is we're under the captivity of illusion. And the only solution to that problem is Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya, to surrender to Krishna. There is no other means. Thus, when we see materialistic people successful in their materialistic endeavors to solve the temporary problems of life, we do not consider that in any way advancement of civilization, because actually the more they're successful, the more they become entangled. Because everything is based on our faith. Our material entanglement is due to faith in ignorant conceptions. Faith that I'm this body. Faith that this is my family. Faith that this is my property. Faith that there's material solutions to the problems of the world. That's the very cause of all misery. Wrong placed faith. But if you have faith that Krishna is the cause of all causes, and I'm the eternal soul, transcendental to this material nature, if I have faith that my real happiness is eternal and unlimited when it is directed toward Krishna, service to Krishna, that faith is the means of liberation. So as we live in this world, we must be extremely careful not to misplace our faith. And that is Maya's mission. She has a mission statement to somehow or other capture you. And how does she capture you? By capturing your faith. Whatever your faith is, that's what you are. Where you put your faith, that's where your consciousness will take shelter. Therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is the development of faith. Srila Prabhupada was very strict that we read his books. We do not unnecessarily wander around in all sorts of other ideologies, either materialistic or even so-called spiritualistic. Because they divert our faith. Vyavasayatmaka buddhir eke hakurunandana bahushakasinantascha buddhayo vyavasayana. We must be resolute in purpose and our aim must be one. If we do not have this consciousness, we cannot overcome the influences of Maya. We will not find shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Maya wants to manipulate your intelligence in such a way that she diverts your faith away from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he was preaching in such a way. Sri Radha Gopinath Prabhu was discussing this the other day in his class, where every purport, practically, his goal was to establish faith that only Krishna can save you. Because that's the essence, that's the conclusion of all knowledge. Vasudeva sarvami samahatma sudurlabha. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavam mampapadyate. Vasudeva sarvami samahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, when one finally comes to knowledge, one understands Krishna, Vasudeva, is the cause of all causes. He's all that is. So when we associate with something or anything, that influences our faith. It influences our consciousness in such a way that it can either make or break the purpose of our life. Srila Prabhupada called academic institutions of today spiritual slaughterhouses, because they create an environment where people develop very strong faith in the allurements of Maya. Just look at modern civilization. It was built on the principle of Maya giving so many different ideas of how to solve problems in life and make life more comfortable. People are living in little straw huts and villages. Sometimes it gets too cold, sometimes it's a little too hot. You're supposed to just tolerate these things and just do the needful, but what's beyond your control, you just tolerate it and live a simple life. But why don't we create a whole, little by little, a whole civilization that has come just to get a little more heat and just to cook with a little more convenience? it has come to the point where there's nuclear power plants. No exaggeration. It was born from just trying to make some little material adjustments to the simple perplexities, inconveniences, and sufferings in life. And now look at what the situation is. People are still suffering. And in the process of trying to find relief from their suffering, they're polluting the entire planet on every level and creating massive suffering. But they can't put the two together. We have to be able to identify that this is simply Maya in action, trying to divert our faith away from Krishna. We're sitting in a little hut. There's a few mosquitoes. It's a little hot. It's a little inconvenient to cook. We do the best we can, and we chant Hare Krishna, and we hear about Krishna, and we're happy. And what's the other alternative? To gradually develop big cities like Bombay, Calcutta, London, New York. There's crime and there's all kinds of inconceivable diseases and dangers and anxieties. People are no happier. But in the process, materially, still you have to tolerate, no matter what situation you're in. But you have lost the very purpose of life and the means to achieve it. So material consciousness is the cause of all suffering. And material consciousness means misplacing your faith. Spiritual consciousness means placing your faith where you can find truth. That is Krishna. Then we must live by our faith. Krishna consciousness is practical. Prabhupada is explaining here that Mayavadi philosophy, they also agree that material consciousness is the cause of one's conditional life. But impersonalism is Maya's trick to try to trap you to take your faith away from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through a transcendent philosophy. But it's not practical. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj has just written a book. It just came out. A book about his experiences with Srila Prabhupada and his realizations. And he explains there how the first time he met Srila Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada a question that there's so many gurus and swamis and philosophies, and how do I know which one is right? Niravishesha Shunyavadi. Srila Prabhupada had a mission, the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He replied, "Do you want to be God or serve God?" That was the first thing he said to Giriraj Maharaj. Do you want to be God or serve God? If you want to be God, then why aren't you already God? And if you're already God, why do you have to be God? You don't become something that you already are. So this becoming God is simply impractical. Either you are or you aren't. So then Mayavadi says, well, it's not a matter of becoming in a sense of something different happens in your identity. It's a matter of remembering what you have forgotten. But if God is the absolute truth, If the God is source of all knowledge, then how is it that God comes under the control of his own forgetful potencies? God is the controller of all potencies. He does not forget. So Giriraj Maharaj was convinced. And very soon after that, he was chanting on the streets with the devotees. He joined the temple. Around Harvard Square. Harvard is a place where many intellectuals come. But what is the use of intellectualism unless it's based on truth? So one such intellectual approached him and told him that I am God. So Giriraj Maharaj, immediately remembering Prabhupada's instructions to him, started preaching. If you are God, then what are you doing in this miserable condition of life? He said, well, you're God too. I'm God, everyone is God. So you can go through so many scriptural argumentations with such people, or you could just go to what's practical. Is this idea practical? Maharaj said, if you're God, what is the proof? He said, the proof is I say I am. Maharaj said, I say I'm the president. Does that mean I'm the president? He said, yes. If you say you are, you are. If you believe you are, you are. If I say I'm God, I'm God. Yes, that means you're God. So if I'm God, that means you have to follow what I say. He said, yes. Just give me all your money. Person had $97. It's a lot of rupees. He said, give it to me. So because of the false ego, he couldn't go back on his argument. So he gave him all his money. So Giriraj Swami gave him a book in return, which taught him that he's not God, nobody's God, only Krishna's God. It's the most money he ever made for one book in a sale. Very happy. So then they were chanting, and sometime later that person approached him and said, I have to pay my rent for my apartment and you took all my money. Well, if you're God and I'm God, then you should be the proprietor of everything that exists. What is the problem? Anyways, he had to admit that his philosophy was wrong in order to get his money back. So later on, this information was given to Srila Prabhupada. And in Los Angeles, he was telling devotees, oh, our Giriraj, he was brahmachari then, he's very intelligent. And he told the whole story to the devotees in Los Angeles. Now this person is thinking he's God, but then he came begging for his money back. So impersonalism is simply impractical. And materialism is even less practical. To think you're this body, it's the source of all frustrations and miseries. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport how impersonalists, they try to justify any type of situation as pastimes. This intellectual at Harvard, he didn't understand the finer subtleties of philosophy where he could have said, it is my leela that I have to pay my rent. Just as the deity gives you so many grains and foods and then says, offer it to me. Similarly, I gave you this $97 and now as the Supreme Lord I'm saying, offer it back to me. Patram Pushpam Palam Payam. If you offer it with love and devotion, I will accept it and pay my rent. He did not understand these subtleties of Mayavad philosophy. But Mayavadis, they say a hog is God eating stool. And you're, why would God want to eat stool? If he's the supreme controller of all controllers, why would he forget Lakshmi Devi and be having an affair with a female pig? Why would he forget all the wonderful, wonderful situations of Kalpa Vriksha trees in the spiritual world, and he's sleeping in a sewage gutter, eating stool? And they say, this is his lila. This is God's lila. But it is not practical. Because what is the meaning of lila? Means the Lord is orchestrating by his own sweet will his material or spiritual energies according to his desires to give him pleasure. The lila of the Lord is only meant for the pleasure of the Lord. Even when the Lord cries in separation of his devotees, that crying is ecstasy. We're not in ecstasy. We're simply suffering. That's not lila. It's bondage. So a devotee considers that I am the eternal soul, but I'm infinitesimal by nature. As the tatastha shakti of the Lord, little particle of that tatastha shakti, I have my free will to either take shelter of material energy with my faith or take shelter of Krishna. And the cause of all problems is I have put my faith in Maya. And actually, as a neophyte devotee, the cause of our remaining neophyte devotees and not making proper spiritual progress is our faith is still in the illusory promises of Maya. We're still trying to find material solutions to spiritual problems. We're still searching for some other alternative to give relief and happiness outside of Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that association with devotees who will increase your faith is the basis of your spiritual advancement. And to avoid the association of worldly people who are influencing your mind with worldly alternatives is a great enemy. We are dependent on the association of devotees. We're dependent on the holy scriptures. But actually, we can be reading the holy scriptures. And that gives us a very strong theoretical idea of what is truth. But that idea becomes tangible when we have association of sincere devotees. Therefore, we must have conviction that our spiritual lives, individually, collectively, and our capacity to preach to others in a consistent and convincing way is very much dependent on what kind of association of devotees we create amongst ourselves. Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because without a society of devotees living by real spiritual principles, it is practically impossible to resist Maya from stealing your heart away, which means stealing your faith away. And how do we develop this society of devotees? By making Krishna the center. We come together to hear about Krishna, to chant the holy names of Krishna. We come together to create loving relationships that will please Krishna. If we're fighting with each other due to egoistic attachments, do you think we're pleasing Krishna? If we're trying to compete to get some position, we may get the position, but in the process we lose Krishna. What does that mean? Maya has conquered us. We may have all the money, we may have all the power, but we're conquered by Maya. We have lost. What is the use? But if we learn to respect, honor each other, if we learn how to be humble, how to be cooperative, how to please Krishna in our interrelationships, not please our ego, please Krishna, and we are blessed, and everyone around us is blessed, and then it's very, very natural that our faith will flow toward Krishna. What happens when you make aparads to devotees? What really happens ultimately is Krishna allows Maya to distort your faith. If you make enough aparads to devotees, it's just a matter of time. You lose faith in your guru. You lose faith in the process of chanting 16 rounds. You lose faith in following the four regular principles. You think these things are not very important anymore. You lose faith in the process of bhakti. And then you lose faith in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead to try to make some image that I'm an advanced devotee. But bhakti is practical. If you actually believe that, then you will not be making offenses. Because you believe in what he says. So when we see devotees are losing their faith, it is often due to offenses, or it is due to wrong association, or it is due to laziness. It's easy to be Krishna conscious in good association. Just like if a brahmachari ashram, if everyone's very strict, and there's no tolerance to gossip, there's no tolerance to to sleeping late unless you're really sick. There's no tolerance to any of these mayic activities. Then if somebody comes to that ashram, it's actually very easy to be strict, because everybody else is strict. You're flowing with the river. And if everybody's happy in that way, then it's easy to be happy in that way. However, if you're in a situation where nobody's very strict, there's all kinds of gossip and laziness and positioning, then it's terribly difficult to be strict. If everyone's talking about Krishna, it's easy to talk about Krishna. But if everyone's talking prajalpa, it's very difficult to talk about Krishna. Because it's our tendency since time immemorial to speak prajalpa. So what is the use of gaining the whole world if you lose your eternal soul? What is the use of fighting and striving and struggling to get so many material facilities for the purpose of relief from suffering and some happiness to the senses and mind, when in the process you lose Krishna? If we understand exactly what is going on philosophically, then we'll have some strength to resist. What's going on is maya. Material energy is step by step at every moment trying to seduce you, to steal your faith away from Krishna by putting your faith in all of these mundane proposals. And every time you succeed in chasing her hallucinations, she wins. Hare Krishna. Just like in the gambling casinos, the more you win, they know, they have your life. If you go in and lose the first time, you're, but if you win, you're just hooked on the sensation. They like to see people winning. Similarly, every time you succeed in your material pursuits, Maya is smiling, because she knows little by little this devotee's faith is coming more and more on my side. If you take medicine from a doctor, you develop faith in that doctor. If it doesn't work, well, these days, doctors, it doesn't even work. And just they say it's working, and it's not working, and you develop faith. That's the way Maya works, too. If it works, you develop faith. And if it doesn't work, Maya will send some doctor to explain, well, actually, it's working. You just have to make an adjustment here, an adjustment there. She steals your faith in any situation. If we're not philosophically convinced that she's cheating me. Thus we have to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita. We have to be continuously reminding each other, what is matter and what is spirit? What is actually to our best interest? The best service you can do for another devotee is act in such a way and speak in such a way that that devotee's faith in Krishna increases. That is the ultimate service. Are there any questions? Yes. Could someone... I cannot hear what you speak. Can someone speak loudly? What is the question? Imported from New York City is this Ekalavya sound system. much better than the Indian brands. What is Vaishnav Aparad? It means to cause pain to the heart of a devotee. To criticize a devotee. To impose our negative motivations upon a Vaishnava. By our thoughts, by our words, or by our actions. By Krishna's consideration toward our fallen condition in Kali Yuga, we are not responsible for our thoughts. However, if we allow the mind to unrestrictedly dwell on the faults of Vaishnavas or how we want to undermine a Vaishnava, then we will be provoked to speak and then to act. And that will be the ruination of our spiritual lives. How is our life ruined by trying to undermine another Vaishnava? By either criticizing, blaspheming, or acting in such a way that will harm their hearts or their reputation. Krishna simply withdraws his protection. And when he withdraws that protection, then Maya has all opportunity to distort our faith. Actually, real protection that we should pray for is, Krishna, protect my faith. To protect your body, that's all right. We want to use it for Krishna's service. But faith is eternal. Faith is the original energy of the soul to have faith in Krishna. As we're developing our faith, it's a process connected to eternity. The body's temporary. The body's going to die. It's just a matter of whether it's this moment or another moment. So devotees who are not philosophically very aware, if something wrong happens to their body, or if something, according to their conception, goes wrong with somebody else's body, they lose their faith in God. Why isn't Krishna protecting me? But real protection means to protect your faith. Because if your faith is protected, there's a clear pathway back home, back to Godhead. With faith, you can overcome any obstacle in a cheerful mood. Without faith, even a slight problem could cause havoc in your mind. So So when we commit Vaishnava aparad, Krishna withdraws his protection from our faith. And it starts being transferred from Krishna to Maya. But our goal of life is to transfer our faith from Maya to Krishna. Is there any other questions? When I was reading the purport, I was fearing someone would ask that question. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yes. Whatever the material energy dictates the conditioned soul does, he has no responsibility. He is simply the witness of the action, but he is forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada is speaking here from the ultimate platform. Because actually the soul is transcendental. The soul actually is not suffering. The soul is actually, on the ultimate level, it's just observing. Correct? So there's no real question of responsibility to the soul on that platform. However, in the conditioned state, the soul is not only is observing, but is identifying himself with what he's observing. And that is the cause of all the miseries of material existence. So the soul's really not acting. It's that ego, it's that false ego that causes the soul to think that he is what he is not, which is the definition of Maya, that which is not. And really, all the responsibility, all of the karmic reactions for those responsibilities is happening on the platform of the ego. It's not really happening on the platform of the soul, it's happening on the platform of the false ego. But because the soul is identifying with the false ego, therefore he's thinking he's suffering. But actually, if the soul is Satchit Ananda, is the soul really suffering? The soul is thinking he's suffering because he's identifying with that which he is not. Just like a dream. Prabhupada said, if you're falling from a mountain in a dream, you're suffering. The soul actually is identifying with an illusion, and that's causing suffering. But when the soul wakes up, he realizes, actually, I've never been suffering. Because I was never falling from the mountain. I was never being eaten by that tiger. So really, I was never suffering. But because I was identifying with something that wasn't real, I was thinking that I was suffering. So the responsibility is really on the platform of the false ego, and the soul is relating to that, identifying with that. But the soul is transcendental to everything in material existence. Does that answer your question?
It's not enough to desire wrong desire.
Huh?
It's not enough to wrong desire, but once after identifying.
It is in terms of wrong desiring. But that wrong desiring means false ego. There's no difference. As soon as you're on the platform of false ego, then all your desires will be wrong. Everything. Even philanthropy and piety and the level of false ego is wrong. Because it's based on illusion. It's not serving the interest of the soul. Jeev jago, jeev jago. We want to wake up. Mahaprabhu came, wake up, sleeping souls. Come out of this false ego dream. Understand who you really are. You're sleeping on the lap of Maya. Wake up. Chant the holy names. So yes, the soul is responsible for what he does as long as the soul is identifying with the false ego. But it's really that level of ego that is where the real responsibility is. But the soul is above and beyond material nature at all times. The soul is above and beyond the laws of karma at all times. But it identifies with the laws of karma. It identifies with the enjoyments and sufferings of this world. That is false ego. And that, on the level of that identity, that's where all the responsibility comes. Does that answer your question? Actually? Or politely? Any other questions?
Yes.
Did everyone hear the question? You can stand up and speak loudly. Here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, we are supposed to respect all Vaishnavas and not criticize anyone, but sometimes we are troubled by some devotees. Maybe they are neophytes or anyone, unnecessarily. So we know that we are supposed to be tolerant, and we tolerate it. But it is very hard to maintain the same respect for that devotee. So how to see that we will be tolerant, at the same time not lose the respect for that devotee who is troubling us? Hare Krishna.
The fact that you are tolerating, you are pleasing Krishna. And the mind is a thing that develops its condition according to how we choose to perceive any particular person or situation. We could see the negative side or the positive side of anything. We could see that the glass is half empty, or we could see that the glass is half full. We could see that this person is so dear to our spiritual master. This person, out of millions and millions of living entities, is struggling to become a devotee. This person is taking the name of Krishna. This person likes to eat prasad. This person has preached to others and influenced their life. This person may be conditioned and may have all kinds of bad qualities due to their conditioning. But still, they're trying. They're trying to be Krishna conscious. And for them to try might be much more difficult than for me, due to the baggage of their past karmas that they're carrying along with them. But they're struggling. They're trying to be devotee. We could see that way, all the good things about the person. Or we could think that this person doesn't walk properly. This person doesn't put tilak on properly. This person doesn't understand my glories. Therefore, he's misbehaving with me. So you could see the negative or positive. So first thing, you're not making aparad if you tolerate it. But we should also learn to respect wherever there's even a trace of desire for Krishna consciousness anywhere. At least with our intelligence, we should try to see in that light. Before any of us came to this movement, we probably had many, many bad qualities. If the devotees only saw your bad qualities, would you have any hope of being Krishna conscious? When someone comes into this door and meets Sankirtan Prabhu, does he start asking him, "How many eggs did you eat in your life? How many times did you break the regulative principles in your life?" Well, he sees that this person, he wants to see the deities. This is very good, very good. This person's willing to hear what I'm saying. Doesn't matter what kind of criminal activities. The person wants to hear about Krishna. He's taking a japa mala to chant. Sankirtan will fall in love with that person. Is that true? And when you're preaching, do you know what people are doing? Their lives, such crazy lives. But if they're taking a little interest in Krishna consciousness, you give your heart and soul to them. You respect them so much. What to speak of a devotee? May have some bad habits. But ultimately, when someone is aggressive against you, you should take it as actually he's Krishna's messenger to purify me. Because I need this. I'm so egoistic. And in a place like Kolhapur, everyone's glorifying me and thinking I'm a Mahatma. So Krishna wants to balance out my conditions by sending some people to tell me that actually I'm a rascal and they're speaking up behind my back so many things. This is very good. We should respect Krishna within their hearts, directing them to speak like this against you. And if you can do that, you will go back to Godhead in this very life. And if you cannot do that, you'll have to come back again for another chance. But when you come back again, that person's going to come back too. Maybe not in that form. That person means Krishna. That person, Krishna, is going to come back too. And he's going to speak through somebody else to cause the same pain in your heart. And until you're able to say, "Krishna, thank you," Tatena kampam sasamikshamano, then you have to keep coming back in this world again. It will never go away until you surrender. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.